What happens when God says no? Will you yet trust Him if He says wait? Is He the first one you call upon when you're in trouble? Or is He just a backup option? How much of your time does God get? Or does He get any of your time at all? Join Pastor McKnight on Thursday nights from 8 to 8:30 p.m. as we learn to position ourselves for purpose and victory. Thursday, we'll discuss strategies for growing in your faith, keys to understanding your destiny, how to flow in God's favor, and so much more. Pastor McKnight would be delighted to touch and agree with you as you discover God's plan for your life. You're invited to connect with us as we grow from this place by dialing 712-775-8968 and access code 450-281. 2 Peter encourages us to grow in the grace and knowledge of Christ. So what are you waiting for? Ready, set, grow.
Well, praise the Lord. This is Pastor Jonathan McKnight. This is the day. This is the evening that the Lord has made. I will rejoice. I will be glad in it. I'm excited about this opportunity to be able to share with you on this evening. Welcome to Growing from This Place. My prayer is that you and your family, I hope that you all are well. We believe in God, that you are well. If there's any issue or situation or circumstance, we know that God is very well able to be able to give you exactly what you need, because He's our healer, He's our deliverer, He's our prayer answering God, and He's just simply everything that we need Him to be. As we're fastly approaching midway point, and we're all actually almost midway in the midway point, and we just want to be grateful unto God for His goodness and His mercy unto us, believing and knowing that He can, He will do all things and do all things well. I want to say to each one of you who are perhaps calling for the first time to Growing from This Place, welcome to this call. Those of you who have been on our calls for weeks, months, and even years, thank you for remaining faithful unto Growing from This Place. I just want to speak something. Father, we just bless this teaching tonight. Let our hearts be filled with your word and with your glory. We ask you to bless those who might be up under anxiety and stress, dealing with bewilderment or perhaps even grief. I pray now, God, that you give us, God, peace and give us comfort and give us strength. We ask this prayer in Jesus' name. We pray. Amen. I just want to be able to say to you, thank you for, like I said, forementioned earlier, thank you. I want to go to the Word of God and share something with you. Don't you forget about still building our peace prayer army, which simply is a fellowship of prayer intercessors. You're welcome. We'd love for you to join us. www.prayerisamust.org. It's an opportunity for you to be a part of our peace prayer army and understand that that's the sound that the earth needs to hear like never before. Prayer is a sound that we know the world needs, the earth needs. I want to go to the book of Mark the 8th chapter, and I might begin reading from verse 22. Mark the 8th chapter, and I might begin reading from verse 22. The Bible says, "And he cometh to Bethesda, and they bring a blind man unto him, and besought him to touch him. And he took the blind man by the hand, and led him out of the town. And when he had spit on his eyes, he put his hands upon him. He asked him if he saw aught. And he looked up and said, I see men as trees." I want you to remember that. Walking. "I see men as trees walking." And after that, he put his hands again upon his eyes and made him look up, and he was restored and saw every man clearly. After that, he put his hand again upon his eyes and made him look up, and he was restored and saw every man clearly. And he was restored and saw every man clearly. I want to deal with something tonight, just simply from the thought, growing from an unfamiliar process, and perhaps even in an unfamiliar place, growing through an unfamiliar process. I was thinking tonight about this season. How do you grow when it seems like something has flipped, something has changed, and it really appears as if though you kind of like, as we use, you know, I'm a country boy, we use the terminology, kind of like a fish out of water, kind of like totally not ever having any reference point to these times and seasons. I can honestly say all of my life, you know, my dad, you know, I'm a fifth generational pastor. I've never, even as a child, as many times as I have not been to service on a Sunday, not ever before in my life have I missed as many Sundays consecutively, or even in my whole life. Probably I missed more Sundays in church since March than my entire lifetime that I live together. That's just a true statement. And one of the things that's quite unusual is that it's kind of like God is has thrust us into many unfamiliar spaces and places. I was doing a study. I saw a study about 80% of America in some way, shape, or form is working from home, or our kids are trying to get educated from home. Our kids, you know, I felt so bad for our high school students and even our college students. We had some in our church that, you know, they, you know, went 12 years, and they went 12 years to, you know, only to find out in 2020 they couldn't even have a formal graduation. Virtually, they had to do parking lot virtual, whatever. It's just not the same. But it was nothing that could be done about this unfamiliar process, the process of navigating. We've been so used to the same regime. We've been so used to the same days, the same ways, the same people, the same ways of doing things, until many of us, our creativity in life never had to be challenged or stirred. Our minds have become so complacent because we had fallen in love, whether we realize it or not, with what we were used to doing. We were falling in love and have fell in love with our own schedule, our own way of doing things, our own friends, our own circle, our own behaviors, our own, you know, some things we didn't even have to have faith for 6 months ago or a year ago. We didn't even have to have faith for some of the things that we had faith for, you know, this pandemic. I mean, my goodness, I just, you know, we try to, you know, find things for our seniors and make sure that they are covered on a weekly basis for my church. And I was thinking about some of the things or listings, and even, you know, there's a few items I didn't want to, you know, bother people. So I tried to go out and get them myself. And I remember one time one of the seniors, I think, wanted some toilet paper, paper towels, and I think I had to end up finally going to about 7 stores just for a pack of toilet paper or a paper towel, and even in that, there was a limit to that. So I never thought it would be that way, never thought that Lysol would be so valued to where now they have to put it behind a counter, or even a gallon or half a gallon of bleach, wipes, hand sanitizer, and just different things that we never even considered as really valuable. We just went to the store, picked it up, and once we wanted it, we picked it up. We never needed to buy extra paper towels, because, you know, every time we went to the store, they were pretty much there. And what I began to think about is sometimes your creativity has become bankrupt. Even your mindset has become bankrupt, because everything around you, you're just familiar. It's just familiar. You just know, you know what tomorrow you're going to have for breakfast. You know what next week is going to happen with the job. You already know where your cubicle you was going to be sitting at and work from. You get the point that I'm trying to make. And it's just so, everything has been just so familiar. And then within the last 4 months, Everything now seems to be becoming unfamiliar. The way the world operates, the things that we have to do, standing back in a grocery store, you got to stand 6 feet behind. I mean, they got their own patrol system. They got X's at the front of aisles and then arrows at the other aisle and telling us how we shop, what way we go down, what way we don't go down. And you see people in the grocery stores are cleaning buggies and sanitizing everything as you go in. And they're asking us to social distance and to wear a mask. And everything now on what we used to deal with is just, it's just unfamiliar. I was out today with my mask on doing ministry assignment, and I'm telling you, it was just flat down hot today. And I'm like, man, my goodness, I'm out here with a mask on. It's hot, I'm in Florida and all of this heat, and you're in a mask. And I'm just thinking about all of this. It's just unfamiliar. It's unfamiliar, but also it's an opportunity. It's an opportunity in the unfamiliar. To be able to find out the creative sides of you and to find out the creative sides of me. And what you have to ask yourself the question is how do I handle functioning in the process of change that I don't even understand? Neither do we really know when it's going to end. It is very, very staggering to my mind and my heart how we are so frivolously outside as if though, things have been settled and things have been changed. And I begin to think about what they're saying in the United States of America is that, it could very well be in the month of July or the end of August that the numbers of that's 100,000 will be over 200,000 people. Right now, our country is well on its way to a 500,000 people losing their lives or transitioning because of the COVID virus. But yet, we're trying to act familiar in an unfamiliar process. I think that sometimes we have to just come to the grips of the reality that life has changed. And we got to find out what is the solution when life changes, does not invite you to the meeting. You don't have a vote about life changing. And I know this year we are, in a presidential election, and many the power of voting is crucial and it's important. But one thing about it, you can't vote the type of changes that are happening. It's not who you vote for that controls the change of the fabric of what some of the things we're dealing with. Some of the things we're dealing with is just unfamiliar. It's just a new season. It's just a new time. Sometimes you might think a phase can change, but what I'm telling you right now is a man or a woman cannot change this unfamiliar process. So how can I make sense of this? The question is, how can I make sense when I don't even have a clue about what God is doing? I can tell you this, even though I don't know everything he's doing, there's about three things that I can tell you that he's done. He's given us time to rethink. He's given us time to reevaluate our associations. He's given us time to let the creativity of who we are, made in his image and made in his likeness, to see what are you going to have when this season's change? What are you going to have accomplished? What will you have accomplished with being able to be in social distancing for 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 months? God knows who knows how long. What would you have done? What proof have you had to where the number one complaint in your life at one time for accomplishing your goals and dreams was, I just don't have time. I have to do this and I have to do that. And we need to really understand right now that we are in a very crucial time and testing to understand how can I function in this unfamiliar process of what we call life. And last night when we laid down, we had to wake back up again on Thursday morning with an unfamiliar process. How do I function, God? How do I grow from the unknown? How can my life become greater when I don't even know? It seems like my freedom is being diminished, the freedom to function in what was normal to me, because it looked like God is forcing us to have to make adjustments. And what do I do when I can't even see for myself? Why do I have to depend on so many other things when it seems like I am in the unfamiliar? Who can I trust in an unfamiliar process? Who Who can I trust in this unfamiliar process? Who is loyal in this unfamiliar process? Who's consistent? Who is truthful? Who is just right in this unfamiliar process? How can I make sense of it? And why does it seem like when I had so many expectations at the beginning of the year that it seems like my dreams and my goals are fading? Can I still do it? Perhaps he's forcing us to talk to him more. Perhaps God is saying, you've been in conversation with too many other types of people. Matter of fact, do you even know me? And do you even know you? Do you know what you really want? Or do you know what you really need? Because everything you might want is not what you really need in this season. Can you function with not functioning in your normal way? Is time with me enough? Do you feel like you're being robbed of life when you have a chance to talk to me? Who or what makes you feel significant? Does awards, does money, does things, does designer clothes, what makes you feel significant in this unfamiliar thing? Where are your values of the priorities of the things that are really important? Are you getting better? Are you hungry for success? Are you hungry to walk in the fulfillment by which I called you? Has your prayer life intensified? Has your worship intensified? Or are you just going on every day saying, I hope things get back? Is the news consuming you? Or perhaps the social media becoming your God to where you know everything and all you do is send people what somebody else says, but you never send them anything that God says? What's funny now? What brings a smile to your face? Is a mockery of someone else? What makes you smile? And then the other question is, who do you make smile? Why does life make it so to where you always have to seek laughter from somewhere else because there's no laughter within? Or perhaps, who do you make smile? Who do you make? That's a million-dollar question. Who do you make smile for your kindness? Who do you make feel like they know they can get something positive from you? Who? So now it brings me to the text. I have about 12 or 13 minutes to deal with this text. This text is very interesting to me because Jesus comes in to Bethesda, and they bring him a blind man. What I find interesting is they brought the blind man, and they also brought a suggestion. Here's what the Bible says here in verse 22. And he come into Bethesda, and they bring him a blind man unto him, and besought him to touch him. So isn't this amazing to me? If y'all just give me a moment, I want to talk about it. It amazes me how people, first of all, they brought a blind man to Jesus. Okay? So they bring this blind man to Jesus, but they come with a suggestion. They ask Jesus, the one that can help, can you fix this process? Why don't you just touch him? It amazes me how people have suggestions, but they don't necessarily have solutions. So many times people want God to do it the way that they want him to do it. Well, if you had the solution, you shouldn't have to bring the problem. I think one of the things that we need to be careful of is how we suggest to God how he ought to do things. He's sovereign. He does what he wants to do, when he wants to do it, and how he wants to do it. And some people are so selfish until they try to tell God what he ought to do. And it amazes me that if you were that if you were that powerful in God, it appears to me that you should have been able to have a solution without coming to God. We're in a situation in life right now where the process is just not familiar. That's why when you pray, you got to pray in the spirit. You got to know what to pray for. That's why you got to understand that when you're going through certain seasons in life, you got to be able to make sure that either one or two things happen. Either you can get to God in such a way, or you are surrounded by people that know how to get to God so you can be able to see and think straight. We're not in a season right now where people around you need to tell you what you want to hear, because you will end up in places that you can never come out of by just being shattered with what you want to hear or covered with what you want to hear. We need some people that's going to speak truth in our lives. You know, I'm just so thankful. I'm so thankful for my hero, my mentor, my dad. You know, he was the one type of people, you know what? He just was going to tell you what you needed to hear. And sometimes it was quite painful. Sometimes he didn't like it. But at the end of the day, if you are sincere about growing, if you are sincere about going to the next level, then God will allow people to come into your life and around your life that will tell you what you need to hear, not just what you want to hear. Because the ultimate goal of this is this. A lot of times people will try and say things, but they don't really have a solution. They just try to go around things. But actually, we need people in our lives that can just tell us what we need to hear so we can become better. And shame on me, shame on anyone who doesn't want to hear things that makes us better. Now, they bring him to Jesus, and they suggest to him, can you touch him? Look at the move, look at the power move that Jesus did in verse 23. They brought him, and they besought him to touch him. Guess what Jesus did? He did touch him. He took the blind man, the Bible says, and he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the town. Guess what he did? He took the blind man away from the people who just had the suggestion. He took the blind man away from people that tried to tell God how he ought to fix this. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Jesus said, okay, I'll touch him, but I'm going to pull him away from you. He took him by the hand, led him out of town because, see, Jesus already knew that this wasn't a normal season and this was not going to be a familiar process. So you got to make sure that you can be around people that know how to handle your process. Sometimes you don't know what God is doing in your life, and people don't understand what God is doing in your life. And they can make it complicated because they're not seeing it through the eyes of God. Because the end result of this miracle is I need to see what God is doing. The end result of where you are now and I am now is we really need to see what God is doing. Not just see what we're doing, not just seeing what they're doing on CNN and Fox and MSNBC News and you know, NBC, ABC, CBS. No, that's not what we need to just be seeing, what they're doing and what they're saying. We need to see what God is doing. We need to really know what he wants for our life next. Because we're in a season now, we're wasting time. We don't know how much time there is, so we can't waste the time that we know we have. So Jesus pulls the man away. Watch this. He pulls the man away. He took him out of town. He changed his environment. He took the man out of town. Perhaps the man was just in town. Perhaps the man was just in Bethesda. Perhaps the man had never been led to another environment. Perhaps the man had never been led outside the streets of blindness. Perhaps Jesus decided to say, you know what? If I'm going to do great things in your life and I'm going to call things, then I got to take you out of your familiarity, even though you don't see. Now the man's blind. He just had to walk with God. Did you just catch what I just said? He just had to walk with Jesus. I don't know where he's taking me. I don't see where he's taking me. But if he has my hand, I'm walking with him. The problem right now is too many people, and probably too many of you, if God has me teaching this, you got to see what God's doing. You can't, I need to know where I'm going first. Well, see, that's that mentality that you're going to miss. I need to know where you done got in places. You done went places with your friends. You didn't know where to just get in the car. Let's just ride out. You done went to clubs. You didn't know who was going to be in the club. You didn't know what a serial killer was going to be in the club. You didn't know where somebody going to shoot up the club. You don't win place, you ain't know who's cooking. So all of a sudden, when God's just taking you somewhere, you got, God, where are you taking me? I'm not ready. No. You've already showed that you can be dangerous and not knowing where you're going. But here's a problem that we don't understand. That's really a problem. He has your hand. So wherever I walk with him, it's good. I learned that a long time ago. Notice, I'm about to run out of time. Notice, they brought him to Jesus. He went from they to Jesus. They brought him. The crowd brought him. The people brought him. And then it ended up, and I resolved this in my life. And I mean this from the depths of my soul. If I know God got my hand, I'm good. I'm good if the day leaves. If God has your hand and he's walking you to something and through something, you need to understand that he's going to make the picture clear. He'll fix that situation. They brought him. They wanted Jesus to do it. Jesus said, no, I'm going to grab him by the hand, but I'm going to pull him away from you. I'm going to bring him into an atmosphere because I got a process he has to go through. I got to see if he's going to stick with me through the process. I got to see if he's going to stick with me through the process. Watch this, and I'm about done. He led him out of town. And when he had spit on his eyes, Lord have mercy, he put his hands upon him and asked him if he saw aught, or do you see clearly? First thing about it, what a process. Jesus spit on the man's eyes. But guess what? The man couldn't see the spit. He couldn't see the purpose of the spit. He couldn't see the fit. He might have just felt it, but he couldn't see it. Sometimes God takes us through things that we feel, but we don't even see what he's doing. Sometimes if you saw what he was doing, the spit won't matter. There's been times in my life I didn't know what God was doing. The process wasn't clear. It didn't even feel right. Didn't know what it was. You couldn't see what he was doing. And he asked him a question. He said, put his hands on him. And then he asked him, say, tell me what you see. Watch this. I'm going to make one point that you got to remember this. And he looked up and said, I see men as trees walking. Now, wait a minute. That right there alone tells me that this man had not been blind all of his life. Because if he was blind all of his life, he wouldn't know what a man looks like. He wouldn't know what a tree looks like. and he wouldn't know what walking looks like. Those three things let me know that there was a season in this man's life where he had sight, but he lost it. Lord, have mercy. Some of you have lost your sight. You've lost your focus. Even in this season, you don't even see right. Jesus said, I want you to tell me what you see. He said, I see men as trees. I see something, but it's not clear. It's moving. It's walking. But I don't know where it's going. And I'm in a state to where it's not good enough for me to see partial. Oh my God. It's not good enough right now in my life for me to partially see the thing there, but I don't know. I can't make out what it really is. I know it has to be men. I know they look like trees. I know they're walking. And Jesus wanted to see the mindset of how this man was going to function when he couldn't see clearly. Watch this. And this is the whole gist of what I'm teaching you right now in this next verse. After that, he admitted that something wasn't clear. Even after Jesus had took him through a process, even after Jesus had touched him, even after you've been in worship, even after you've been in prayer, even after you've been through fasting, even after you trying to get your life together, and guess what? It's still not clear. It's still not clear. Because, see, you were thinking that the normal process was, if he touched me, it's going to be all right. You were thinking the normal process is, if he lay his hands on me, I'm going to see clearly. The normal process was, is that if we don't have the pandemic, then I'm good. If my job give me a raise, then I'm good. Then if I just can keep my friends and we just hang out and do, then I'm good. But he said, no. I want you to understand that this season of life is, I'm trying to get you to understand that I control the process. And I want you to understand, you can't tell me how to take you through the process of the unfamiliar. You got to trust me. I can't, I'm at the point, I just can't hang out with non-trusters, not for what I'm trusting for. No. I got to see clearly. Watch this. After that, this is the gist. This is the meat of his teaching. He put his hands again upon his eyes. When I go back to verse 23, it's taking me a little longer. I can't leave you without the answer. If you understand, he put his spit on his eyes the first time. And the Bible says, and he put his hands on him. After the man admitted that he saw men as trees, Jesus does something different. After that, he put his hand upon his eyes. Lord have mercy. And here is something that I see in this text that's amazing to me. I get so much from this. I'm going to go back to verse 23. Verse 23 says, he took him by the blind man by the hand, led him out of town. When he had spit off his eyes, he put his hands upon him. He asked him if he saw right. Watch this now. Verse 24 says, and he looked up. once he was touched in the first process, he looked up on his own. Because he just knew after the spit and after the touch, he was going to see. It wasn't clear. He thought, probably from the beginning of when the people who brought him to Jesus said, touch him. They probably talked to him all the way. Blind man, once he touch you, you're going to see. Blind man, once you touch him, once he touch you, you're going to see. Let me tell you something. Trust me, he done did this for this person. He did that for that person. He did it this way. Won't he do it? Won't he make a way? I saw him. I heard about him. And they were really creating a miracle expectation from the same process. They thought that if God, Jesus, was going to just touch him, the miracle was just going to come through that same process. Watch this. And after that, he put his hands upon his eyes. And here is the answer that blows my mind when I read this text. And made him look up. And made him look up. You know what's crazy about that? When the blind man was touched, he thought he knew the process. And then when he saw men as trees, and it wasn't quite clear, and it wasn't what he thought or the way he thought he was going to see it at that point, the Bible says he looked up on his own. He was anxious. He was excited. He was expecting. But then when Jesus touched him another way, when Jesus decided that, you know what, I don't want you to think you know me like that. I choose the process by which I bless you. I choose the process by which I give you the miracle. I want to see what and how you going to act when I don't use the process with the way you was expecting. I'm the miracle worker. I can bless you any way I want to. And the Bible says, when Jesus laid his hands on him, he had to make the man look up. Because the man had looked up one time on his own, and it wasn't the way he wanted it to be. He had to be forced to look up. The Bible says, and he made him look up. He didn't want to go through disappointment again. He didn't want to go through expectation again. But see, and he was restored and saw every man clearly. So what are you telling me, Pastor McKnight? Don't you mess around and miss your miracle because the process wasn't what you expected. Or it wasn't clear the first time. Don't you mess around and allow the disappointment of when you thought it should have been done and how you thought it should have been done. And the next thing you know, you're not even looking up. The next thing you know, you're looking down like you'll never see again, or you'll never get that house, or you'll never get that business, or your child will never be safe. Or you thought that when you took him through this rehab, you thought when you took him to that and they prayed, it was no. You got to understand me, hear me. He chooses the process so your faith can remain in his sovereign right. He does what he wants to do, when he wants to do it, and how he wants to do it. God has always told me this, and I'm closing. I'm going to have to leave you. He said this to me. He said, sometimes I allow you to look bad for a moment just for you to see who will walk. He said, sometimes I allow trouble to come and camouflage the process to look like I'm done with you, look like I'm over, look like you finished. And I'll turn around and see how you're going to look now. You still going to look up? Are you going to look depressed? You going to look up? Are you going to look with anxiety and stress? You just going to look, are you going to look up? Or are you going to look at the news all day? Are you going to look up? Or are you just going to stay on social media? Where are you looking? How are you looking? And what are you looking for? Where are you looking? How are you looking? And what are you looking for? Where are you looking? How are you looking? And what are you looking for? I'm saying it. I'm not retracting it. 2020 will still be my greatest year. I can't choose the process, but I can choose how I look. I can't choose the process, but I can choose where I look. I cannot choose the process, but I surely can choose who I'm looking to. When it doesn't look clear, ask him to touch you again so you can see things clearly. Father, we thank you for your love. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your grace. You're amazing, God, and you do amazing things, and there's nobody like you. Father, we are grateful for your goodness, your mercy, your kindness, and your grace. There is nobody like you in all the earth. We bind every distracting thing that wants to have us looking down as if though we have no hope. I pray by the power of the Holy Ghost. I want you, God, to move quickly and move powerfully. I thank you, God, that many people, the enemy is telling them they have nothing to look forward to. But I know without a shadow of a doubt that our eyes are lifted to the hills from which cometh our help. Not some of it, but all of our help comes from you. I'm asking you tonight to give us a miracle in the process. And all of those who thought the process was not going to get the results, I decree and I declare that the final results are miracle favor. There are people grieving. There are people hurting. There are people sick. There are people in bondage. There are people overwhelmed, stressed out, full of anxiety, with addiction, then the spirit and the voices of suicide is talking to their heads and their mind. But God, cancel it. We speak peace. We speak power. We speak revelation. Help and protect those who are trying to keep our hospitals and our medical facilities in order. Those who are trying to keep peace in our streets. God, we come against violence and we come against looting. We come against wickedness and evil, understanding two wrongs don't make a right. But yet, God, I ask you, God, to bring justice and a solution to the chaos that's in our country and the sicknesses that's spreading around our world. Give us wisdom. Give us right connections. Give us peace. And most of all, God, give us a greater anointing. And we thank you that it's done. In Jesus' name we pray. Gonna do a few shout-outs real quickly. Gainesville, Florida, my hometown. Hello to you guys. Greensboro, North Carolina. Winston-Salem, North Carolina. Montgomery, Alabama. We got Palm Coast, Florida. Germantown, Maryland. Macon, Georgia. Mobile, Alabama. Birmingham, Alabama. Los Angeles, California. Got Atlanta, Georgia. Troy, Michigan. Brentwood, New York. Rochester, New York. New York, New York. That's New York. Jackson, Mississippi. Miami, Florida, Tampa, Florida, Fort Worth, Texas, the Big D, Dallas, Texas, the Big H, Houston, Texas, Lakeland, Florida, Newark, New Jersey, Charlotte, North Carolina, Raleigh, North Carolina, Savannah, Georgia. We did the Dallas and the Houston, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, Columbus, Ohio, Virginia Beach, Virginia, Buffalo, New York, Rochester, New York, got Tallahassee, Florida, Augusta, Georgia, Roswell, Georgia, Tom Rivers, New Jersey, Newark, New Jersey, Baltimore, Maryland, Roanoke, Virginia. We got callers that are connecting people by way of Facebook. We got callers all over Central Florida, Orange, Osceola, Lake, Seminole, Brevard, Volusia counties. Last, certainly not least, We got Nassau, Bahamas. We got Freeport, Bahamas. Thank you guys for calling and listening to me tonight. Remember this, you're going to win even if the process is unfamiliar. Just keep looking up to God, and he will see you through. My prayers that God will bless you, bless your family. Be safe. Use wisdom. Use wisdom for you and your family. God bless. Thank you for tuning in to Going From This Place. God bless.